إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. عباد الله, as men, as husbands, sometimes we forget and we need to be reminded that with regards to our wives, we're not in the marriage alone. It's not all about us. We tend to hear the text from the book of the Sunnah speaking about the virtue of the men, such as the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, "Ar-rijal qawwamun 'ala nisa'," that the men, they are the protectors and the maintainers of the women. "Bima faddala Allah ba'dakum 'ala ba'd," due to that which Allah Ta'ala has favored you, some of you with, over others. Meaning the men over the women. And we get big-headed. We forget about the statement of Allah Ta'ala, which He mentioned, "Bima anfaqu min amwalihim," due to the fact that they spend from their wealth. They take care of their business as men. And they take care of their families. And you look at there, He mentioned in His tafsir of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which He said, "Wal-rijal alayhim daraja," the men, they have over the women a daraja, a grade, a level. He said, "I fil fadila fil khalq," meaning as it relates to how they were created. Yani the men are stronger than the women physically. They're physically stronger than the women. Likewise, with khulq, likewise in their character, the men, they have forbearance, patience, and fortitude, the thing that makes them men. And likewise, the obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the women, they are deficient in relation to their deen, not because they're women. Why? Because the same time comes out of the month in which they can't pray. So as it relates to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the men, they have a level over them. And likewise, He mentioned, "Well, infaq," likewise, they spend upon them as men, spending upon their wives. "Well, qiyam," "Well, masalih," and likewise, they establish those beneficial affairs for their families, seeing after their needs. And likewise, that which is connected to the dunya as well as the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala said, "Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala nisa." Men, they are the protectors and maintainers of the women. Not dhukur. He didn't say males. Rather, men, real men, they are the protectors and the maintainers of their families. Allah Ta'ala, He mentioned within His book, clarifying and highlighting the huquq and the rights that our wives have upon us, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and they have rights similar to those that are due upon them within reason. Within reason, that is befitting, that which is befitting, that the man gives to his woman, and likewise the woman she gives to her man, they have rights due to them similar to those that are upon them. وَلَرْرِجَالْ عَلَيْهِمْ دَرَجَةً, and the men, they have a level above them. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, Allah Ta'ala, He is the Almighty, He is the All-Wise, and then He always puts things in their proper place. As it relates to the treatment of the women, then some men, they fall short as it relates to this matter. They fall short as it relates to how they deal and treat their wives. And there are certain qualities and characteristics that we as men should want to rid ourselves of. Certain men that we don't want to be. And from them, the first man that we don't want to be with regard to our wife is tarik al-salah, the individual who abandons the prayer. You don't want to be an individual who abandons your obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abandoning your prayer. But how would it be if you as a man, you don't establish a prayer in your home. You don't pray. You don't pray. But your wife does pray. Yeah. And which function would you be missing for you anymore? You as a man, you abandon your salah. You don't pray. But your wife does pray. She's abidah. She prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in this case, you are not even permissible for her. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, he mentioned, and that was reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Murayra, who reported from his father that he said, the Messenger of Allah said, "Inna al-ladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, fa man tarakaha faqad kafar." The pact, the covenant was between us and them, that would separate us from being a disbeliever is the salah. Whoever abandons it, faqad kafar, he's become a disbeliever. He has disbelieved. And likewise, Anas ibn Malik, he reported on the authority of the Prophet alayhi salam that he said, "Laysa bayna abdi wa shirk illa tarku salah." He said, there's not between a man and shirk anything except the abandonment of the prayer. The abandonment of the prayer. فَإِذَا تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Then once he has abandoned that, he has disbelieved. He has disbelieved. So we should not be from those men who abandon the prayer while our wives establish that which is obligatory upon them from their ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second man, al-rajul al-thani, that we don't want to be, sahib al-sah, bil-layl, the individual who stays up all night, kharij al-dar, outside of his home. He stays all night outside of his home, abandoning his home. And he comes home in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, not because he's working, not because he's going seeking the provisions for his family in a halal manner. Rather, he's staying outside of his home engaging in that which is haram. He's engaging in that which Allah has made prohibited from him, leaving his wife at home to tend to the children alone by herself. That this individual will not fear that whatever he is falling into from the haram outside of that home, staying out all hours of the night, what if your wife did the same thing to you? What if she did the same thing to you? And stay outside of the home, doing whatever she will, whatever she pleased, leaving you at home to tend to the children, to tend to your own needs by yourself. Al-Rajul al-Thalith, the third man that we don't want to be as it relates to our wives, little as far, the individual who travels, the individual who travels too much, leaving his wife at home. And he's not traveling seeking knowledge of the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's not traveling for the sake of ibadah. He's not traveling for da'wah and the likes of this. He's not traveling seeking the provisions. Rather, he's traveling upon pleasure. He's traveling for the sake of traveling. Traveling, leaving his family at home by herself, forgetting about the need that your wife has for you. Forgetting about her need that she has for you, for your companionship, and your care and your concern. And likewise, her other needs which she has, from the needs of the farash and the likes of this, her need to intimacy. But the woman, she has a need and a right to enjoyment just as the man does. Just as the man does. But due to her shyness and her modesty, or the shyness and modesty which a woman should have, because some women don't have it. Due to her shyness and her modesty which she should have as a woman, perhaps she doesn't mention that to you. Perhaps she doesn't mention this to you, but she has a need for that just as you do. And Sa'adi, he said, concerning the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have rights similar to those due upon them within reason. He said, I, meaning for the women, عَلَى بُعُولَتِهِمْ, upon their husbands, they have rights. And certain affairs that are obligatory upon the husbands to fulfill, just like there are rights that are obligatory upon them to fulfill for their husbands. From the rights that are obligatory and rights that are as well recommended. From them, and nafaqa that you spend upon her, or kiswa that you clothe her, and that you associate with her in a good manner. And likewise, you house her. وَكَذَلِكَ الْوَطَاءُ. Likewise, she has the need for intercourse. Just as you do. So we must, as men, be mindful of the needs that our wives have for us, for our company, our companionship, and other than that. Al-Rajul al-Rabi, the fourth man that we don't want to be as it relates to our wives, is that tajir, that merchant, that businessman,
who spends all of his day consumed amassing wealth and chasing after the dunya, and he's so tired from that by the time he gets home that he goes to sleep. Whereas your wife and your children, they want their time with you. They want to spend time with you. And they want your companionship in the likes of this. Ibn Kathir mentioned concerning the way and the manner of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam is that وَكَانَ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِ أَنُّهُ جَمِيلُ عَشْرَةٍ, that from his character is that he had the best manners of association. He had the best manner of association. And he was always smiling. And likewise, he used to play with and associate with his family and be kind and gentle towards them. And so the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, whenever he would pray Salatul Isha and he returned home to his bait, he would enter into his home and he would play with his family. He would associate with them, speak with them. How was your day? What did you do today? Check on the children. The likes of this. This is how the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam was with his family. And then he would go to sleep. And then he would rest. Rajul Kham is the fifth man that we don't want to be with regards to our families, is that individual who he mixes up and sometimes gives precedence to the rights of his parents over the rights of his wife. Pay attention to this. The rights of the parent is muhim, very important, as it relates to kind association, spending upon them when you have the means and the ability to do so, checking up on their affairs, looking after them, and so on and so forth. However, the rights of the wife as it relates to nafaqa, spending, is wajib, obligatory. There's never a time where it is not obligatory upon you as a man to spend upon your wife. However, some of the men, they make their wives, force their wives to take care of their mother and their father. Or they spend upon their mother and their father before they would spend upon their wife. Sheikh Al-Taymin, alayhi rahmatullah, he mentioned in Zahir al-Mustaqni, he said, النَّفَقَ لِلزَّوْجَ wajibah. He said, spending upon the wife is wajibah. It is obligatory upon you. It is obligatory in every state, even if you don't have it. It's still obligatory upon you to spend upon her. Whereas, spending upon the relatives other than the wife is conditional based upon you having the ability. And the ability is determined what you have spent upon yourself and you spent upon your wife in an adequate manner. What you have extra, you spent upon the rest of your family. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam, he was asked about who should he give sadaqah to. He said, Ahlak, give it to your family, meaning your wife first, thumma, and then your relatives and those who are close in relation and those who are close in relation after that. So this is that which is obligatory upon us as men, that we see after the needs of our wives and we take care of them in an adequate manner. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لِكُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. الرجل السادس, the sixth man that we do not want to be with regards to our families, is that da'i al-Allah, the one who is busy giving da'wah and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He travels around giving lessons, giving the khutab, giving sermons, giving lectures and likes of this. And when he finally does have the opportunity to enter into his home, his time is spent doing research, or perhaps writing and translating the likes of this. This individual, as the Sha'bi, he has described him. He said that he is like a wax candle. He's like a wax candle that lights up the affairs for those around him while burning himself out. For he is fulfilling that which is fardun kifaya. It is yani a type of obligation that as long as someone else fulfills it, then you're okay. The obligation lifted from you. And he leaves off that which is fardun ayn. He leaves off that which is obligatory for him as an individual from seeing after the needs of taking care of his family. So the individual who busies himself with da'wah to the point that he leaves off seeing after the needs of his family. He leaves off taking care of them and associating with them and giving them that which they need from him. This individual is the type of husband that we should not want to be. It's reported on the authority of Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa, who reported from his father, that he said, that the Messenger of Allah,
alayhi salam, he established ties of brotherhood between Salman and Abu Darda. So one day, Salman, he went to visit Abu Darda, and he did not find him present. Rather, he found his wife, Darda, and she was in a state in which she was looking disheveled, and she was not well kept, no less than this. So he said to her, Ma sha'nuki, ya Darda, what's going on with you, Darda? Darda, she said, indeed your brother, Abu Darda, he stands up all night, and he prays, he fasts all day, and he has no need for the affairs of the dunya. And he did not pay much attention to his wife in the likes of this. So when Abu Darda, he finally came, he stood, and he greeted, and he hugged his brother, Salman, and he presented the food to him, he gave him some food, he said, here, eat. Salman, he said, you eat. Abu Darda, he said, I'm fasting. Salman, he said, by Allah, I swear by Allah, you want to break that fast. And if you don't, I'm not going to eat until you eat. So Abu Darda, he broke his fast. And in that night, Salman, he stayed the night in the home of his brother, Abu Darda. And so Abu Darda, he stood up to pray. Salman, he told him, sit back down. Sit back down, we'll pray later. Salman, he told to him, he said, O Abu Darda, indeed your body it has rights over you, and indeed your Lord has rights over you, and indeed your family has rights over you. So therefore, give every individual who has a right, his right. So fast sometimes, and sometimes don't fast. Pray sometimes, and at other times, be intimate with your wife, come to your family. And give every through haq, give every person who has a right, his right. So when it was almost morning, the morning was near, Salman, he stood up and told Abu Darda, now let's pray. So they stood up and they prayed some portion of the morning, and when Fajr entered, they went out to the masjid. And Abu Darda, he went to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, and he conveyed the story to him. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, said to him, indeed, Salman, I told you that was correct. So you should give every person who has a right, his right. Ar-Rajul As-Sabiq, the first man that we don't want to be, is the individual who is harsh-hearted and mean towards his wife. He greets her with an evil face, with a mean face. And the likes of this, whereas with other than his wife, with the brothers in the masjid, of the kuffar women he may see in McDonald's, he is all smiles. He is all smiles. And he has the good, pleasurable type of character with other than his wife. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, he said, and he's our best example, he said to Uthman ibn Mab'ud, he said, Wallahi, by Allah, do you not have in me an excellent example? Do you not have in me an excellent example? For I am the most fearful of Allah amongst you. And I am the one who preserves and safeguards the set limits of Allah Ta'ala the most. However, we find him saying, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَحْلِ. The best of you is the best of you to his family. The best of you is the best of you to his family. And I am the best to my family. I mean, I treat my women the best. So therefore, in order to attain that virtue of being from the best of the people, let's be good to our families. This narration, it has a story behind it. And the story behind it was that some of the people used to beat their women. They used to beat their wives. And when it reached the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, he said this statement, the best of you is he who is the best to his wife, whereas I am the best to my wife. The eighth man that we don't want to be as it relates to our wives is that individual who yunazir al-nusus fi ghayri mawadi'iha, is that he takes the text and applies them in other than their applicable places. He beats his wife over the head with verses from the Book of Allah, beats her over the head with ahadith, misapplying these narrations. He applies them in other than their proper places. From the examples of that, is that what the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, he said, He said that either rajul, when a man calls his wife to the firash, he calls her to be intimate with him, then she must come to him, even if she is cooking a meal. And other than this, when the narration would bear a similar meaning. So some men, they take this text and apply it out of its context, and they call his wife for intimacy when he's dirty, when he stinks. And Allah said this, and say, the Messenger of Allah said, that when I call you, you have to come. But you have to come correct, brother. You have to come correct. She doesn't want to smell that. She wants you to be clean. She wants you to be looking nice, just as you want her to be clean and looking nice. So don't take the text and misapply them and use them in other than the proper places. This is not wisdom. Wisdom is what? Putting things in a proper place. So therefore, to put things in other than a proper place is wrong. It is oppression. It is oppression. Put them in a proper place. And the fifth or the ninth man, rather, that we don't want to be as it relates to our wives, is that individual don't give his wife any value in front of her children, or likewise in front of his family, or in front of her family. And like this, he degrades her, he talks down to her in front of her children, talks down to her in front of his family, talks down to her in front of her family, and like this, mistreating and disrespecting his wife in this manner. So you find him such that if she commands or forbids the children with something, if she admonishes the children regarding anything in front of him, what does he do? He checks her in front of the children. He admonishes her for admonishing the children, thus diminishing her status in front of the children. This is from disrespect. You should not do this. If you have a problem with the way she is, but a child, you put her to the side. You put her to the side and you inform her. But you don't show a divided front in front of those children. Don't show them a divided part or a divided force in front of those children. You show them unity and togetherness and uprightness and that you're on the same team. And lastly, the tenth man that we will mention that we don't want to be and it relates to our wives is the individual who prevents his wife from seeking legislative knowledge. The individual who prevents his wife from seeking knowledge of her religion. Whereas if she wanted to seek knowledge of some dunya affair, he would gladly allow her to do so. But when it comes down to seeking knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forbids her and he puts blocks and hindrances in front of her. And he doesn't assist her and aid her in that. He doesn't take her to the conferences to seek knowledge. He doesn't buy for her the books. He doesn't buy for her the lectures and the CDs and the likes of this so that she can learn who her Lord is. She can learn what Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon her. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, he mentioned in his report on the authority of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Tunkahu mar'a li arba, that women, they are married for four reasons. They are married for four reasons. Limaliha, for her wealth. Likewise, for her lineage, her beauty, and her deen. But marry the woman who has good deen, may her hands be dusted. Meaning you will be successful. You'll be successful if you do so. But how can she get that good deen if you don't allow her to learn her religion? You don't allow her to learn what's obligatory weapons and what's not. You don't allow her to seek knowledge, nor do you facilitate that for her. Rather, as men, it is obligatory on us to see to it that, in fact, this is the basic right she has over us. Food, clothing, education, and shelter. And the most important form of education is education of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is from poverty of your family. This is from cultivation and raising your family. It is seen after this matter. So may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala increase us all and make us all to be from those righteous spouses, good husbands to our wives, and may He protect us from being from those categories of men that we mentioned. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأخير دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا لصلاتكم